this evening. There was a couple questions in the box, but they must have got stuck there after I checked, so we'll look at some of those next week. Apologies for that. This evening we're going to look at the character trait of patience. Take your Bibles, if you will, to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. You know, we don't often start in the book of Ecclesiastes, but if you'd consider the entire book, there's actually quite a bit to say about patience in that book. And it's not necessarily something you would think of. When you hear somebody think about Ecclesiastes, you think of, you know, vanity of vanities, all is vanities, right? That's almost everybody's first thought. Their second thought is that Solomon's writings, looking back over his life and what he should have figured out earlier, right? those are the two primary thoughts. But when you think about that, the second thought, looking back over your life, things you should have done different, a lot of them have to do with maybe you've been patient in one form or another. We're going to look at three different aspects of patience this evening. And I think from that perspective, we can see that Solomon learned a lot about the value of patience. We're just going to look at two verses in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. We'll open with verse 8. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it is concise and quick and powerful, Lord. It tells us all we need to know, and it tells us how to live in a way that honors you. I ask, Lord, that you would open your word to our hearts this evening, and that you would teach us and help us to grow more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. Patience could be called the good thing about bad things, if you think about it. Because the fact of the matter is, when do you actually learn patience? When you're uncomfortable. When things aren't going the way that you want, or when they aren't yet the way you want them to be. So patience is, in essence, the good thing about bad things. And the Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 8 isn't just one of those antonym-type statements. Here's this side, here's that side. it's very powerful. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Kids, this is a great lesson to be learned. This is something that's vital to your life. You know, a lot of things feel great when you start them out. You have all these big ideas. Hey, woohoo, let's go. But it's what you learn after the fact. It doesn't matter how smart you are, how knowledgeable you are about something to begin with. Guess what? After it's all said and done, you're going to know more about it. You're going to know more about how it works. You're going to inevitably say at the end of a matter, man, I wish I knew such and such before this started. doesn't matter what scenario we pull out. You can always say at the end of it, oh, I wish I knew this before I started that. It would have gone so much better. And a lot of times, how much we get out of it or how much we learn like that is related to how patient we were in the process. So it's something to dwell on. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. You know, when you take business courses, one of the first things they teach you is have an exit plan. And you're thinking, what? When you open a business, when you start into something new, before you get it, the rest of your plan developed, you're supposed to have a plan set in place to get out of it. Why is that? because it's following this biblical principle, actually. It's looking ahead to, okay, where is this thing going to end up, or where should it end up? How can we close it up properly? How can we finish the project off so that it's done, or finish the business off so that there's not a whole lot of things hanging over? People who start into a small business with an exit plan come out way better because they already knew what direction they were heading in when they started. Not just, oh, this is a great idea, let's go do it. It's always interesting to me how things that really matter in life, people still base them on biblical principles. And then it says, impatient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Now, there's a lot of times where you'll see somebody, or you'll meet somebody, or you'll find out you were somebody that you were, or they were, the best person on this topic, or the best person in the area, or whatever, but because they were the dominant one, or something along those lines. And you find out later on that they weren't necessarily the best person for that. But somebody else who was just kind of in the background, plugging away. Oh, they knew what was going on. As, again, that's what the Bible's talking about here. The patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Usually somebody whose life is ruled by patience, or at least has a decent amount of it, isn't as noticeable as the one who is proud in spirit. And even, not necessarily somebody who everybody would say, oh, that person's so proud, but just you know, the one who sticks out, sometimes will be one that is proud in spirit. Excuse me. So again, this isn't just a couple antonyms, you know, one saying against another. These are facts of life. And we're going to look at the patient in spirit this evening. But down in verse 14, it says, in the day of prosperity, be joyful, but in the day of adversity, consider. God also has set the one over against the other, to the end that man should find nothing after him. So it says here, in the day of prosperity, be joyful, but in the day of adversity, consider. Now, here is one indication that the place and the time we learn patience is when things are problematic, aren't they? In the day of adversity, consider. Don't just get all depressed because everything's bad. Don't just look back to those joyful days and wish, oh man, everything was great back then. Why couldn't that have continued? It says, in the day of adversity, consider. That means take thoughtful account. Look at what's in front of you. Look at the facts and base what follows on the facts. You know, that's the groundwork for patience. Because patience looks beyond what's right here, right now, what, you know, the gimme, the I deserve it mentality. And patience says, well, this is going to happen next. And so I'll wait. So I'll look past what's going on right now. Think about it. Where do we learn patience in life? You look at your kids, or kids, you look at each other, and you want to learn patience when you're young, which is, by the way, where you need to start learning it. How many times you got two little kids fighting over a toy, and they spend 10 minutes fighting over this toy. And then a couple hours later, this same toy comes up, and there's the same two kids wanting it. And one's playing with it, and the other one's sitting there watching. When are they going to be done with it? And about 2 minutes, the kid's done with it, and they go do something else. And the other kid comes, and usually they're, you know, my turn with that toy. But the difference was, it only took the first kid 2 minutes to get done playing with the toy, and then the second kid got his turn, where the first time they fought over it for 10 minutes. So which was more effective? huh, a little bit of patience was more effective. So it starts working or starts applying when our lives are very young. You get a little bit older and there's something going to happen. Oh, we're going to go out for ice cream or we're going to go to a party or whatever. And we're going to act like maniacs all day long because, hey, we're going to go do something fun tonight. Right? I remember being that way. And I can't, there's not a single kid who can honestly say they haven't felt that way. Some. It's part of being a kid, right? But you know what? If you realize that, hey, mommy and daddy are having to tell me to do my normal stuff way more times today because all I'm thinking about is what's going to happen tonight. And then the evening rolls around and I'll give you this instance. Let's say whatever it was couldn't happen without some stuff that you were supposed to do during the day. Guess what happens when that time rolls around? Let's say it's something fun with Daddy when he gets home from work. But some of this stuff to do what you're going to do was up to you to get ready before he got home. Because it was going to take 2 or 3 hours to get ready. But you're so excited about, hey, we're going to do this with Daddy when he gets home, that you didn't do anything because you were too excited. And so Daddy gets home and says, well, now we got to do all this stuff because we can't even do that without this being prepared. And now it's, 9, 10 o'clock at night, and sorry, we just can't do it. There's patience in expectation there. It's okay. I still have what I need to do right now. That event is coming. So patience applies here too. It doesn't necessarily feel like patience because I'm doing something else. What has this got to do with that? But it's a different type of patience. Then we get older. We get into school. Man, I can't wait till I'm done with school. When I finish high school, I'll never look at a school book again. I remember thinking that when I was, between 10 and 14. And guess what, kids? Life is books after that anyway. So there's always something to learn about something. But when somebody wants to be a doctor or a lawyer, they can't have that mentality. They've got 4 to 12 years of school after they finish college and a few other things after high school to have the knowledge to get into that field. But guess what? They have to have patience. They can't just go out and hang a sign and say, hey, I'm a doctor because I read the internet. Doesn't work that way. If we want to achieve something, there's got to be patience involved. And so these are another area, of course, is faith. If we want to learn about God, we've got to be patient, don't we? Because God's ways are not our ways. And our ways are rush and scurry and flutter and hurry. But God is outside of time. He sees it all and he holds it all in his hand. And so no, we can't always understand what's going on today, tomorrow, yesterday. But he does. So let's look at these three aspects of patience. First of all, patience grows in trials. Romans chapter 5 and verses 3 through 5. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Guess what? Patience has some pretty powerful benefits according to this passage. Patience brings experience. That means because you had a patient spirit, you're able to learn as you went through it. And you were able to learn some things to apply to life after that. Experience brings hope. Ultimately, experience should teach you the hand of God is alive and active in your life. And that should give you hope. No matter how dark it is, no matter how big the questions seem, the patient person will remember that God has done great things before, and He's doing something right now. The person who is caught up in themselves, caught up in their own understanding, caught up in their pursuit of whatever it might be, they're not going to stop and take the time to dwell, to gather from experience, to dwell on hope, because they didn't learn patience. And it goes right back to Ecclesiastes 7:8. It's better to be patient in spirit than to be proud in spirit. And we might not feel proud. We might not even think about being proud. Nobody else might think we were proud. But if we're stuck on our own perceptions, not focusing on what God's done before and having patient reliance on Him, guess what? At least between us and God, we're proud in spirit. Excuse me. The Bible has much to say about times when trials come. God is attempting to teach us a lesson. And here, Paul told the Roman church, we glory in tribulations also. Wait a minute, that sounds like he's excited. That's what that means. And when the ship fell to pieces and they were cast into a stormy ocean with great big rocks that they were being potentially to be dashed against, that was exciting? Well, God showed his hand and not one was lost. That was exciting, or should have been. They were opportunities to see the hand of God. Turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 19. Says, for this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently. But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Now when do we get most bent out of sorts? When somebody knocks us around for doing the right thing, right? Can't they tell that I did all this for them? I mean, how blockheaded can they be? But the Bible says, what glory is it when you're buffeted for your faults? When you have problems because of the things you did wrong. But when you suffer patiently for doing right, this is acceptable with God. Man, it might feel like the whole world's crumbling down around you, but if you've learned to be patient in spirit, the Holy Spirit communes with your heart and says, God is pleased. I'll take you through. Romans chapter 12 and verse 12. Again, it says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. So as he's going through the necessities of Christian life, he states specifically, patient in tribulation. This is in the necessities of Christian life. It's not something that's just a good idea. It's something you desperately need to have. Because tribulation, as we just looked at a couple other verses, trials, things going wrong when it seems like they should have been right, that's where you learn. That's the training ground of patience. That's the good thing about bad things. You don't learn patience any other way, honestly. And you can come up with all kinds of scenarios, but when you actually think through those scenarios, the fact of the matter is, when you actually learn patience is when things were hard. When things were going wrong against you. And if we choose to do things God's way, that's when we actually learn patience that affects our life and our character. Secondly, patience in faith teaches us who God is and teaches us reliance on God. It, in a sense, patience itself teaches us faith. You know, we say to have patience in faith, and we say that having faith with patience. But when you really look at it, patience with God is what really teaches us faith in Him. Because, as we said at the beginning, patience is when you stop, you take into account all the facts, and you look beyond, right? Isn't that the same as faith? You stop, you take into account everything that's going on, and you say, God is greater. God has done this before. God has taken me or others that I've seen out of worse situations. God has great wisdom for this time of misunderstanding or this time of questioning. God is greater. So patience is really what teaches us a greater faith. In Romans chapter 8, verse 25. That's not the right chapter. I mean, chapter 8 is. I was just looking at the wrong chapter here. But if we hope for that we see not, excuse me, then do we with patience wait for it. Now this is the description of faith. Remember, faith is what? Who can tell me what Hebrews say about faith and hope? Yeah.
Faith is the substance of things not seen, the evidence. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Correct. So we cross-reference that here. And if we hope for that we see not, if we follow what we're told in Hebrews, then do we with patience wait for it. That's what we're doing. We're having patience with God. Isaiah 40 and verse 31. Pastors mentioned that last couple weeks. Rising up with wings as eagles. And we'll walk and not be weary. We'll run and not faint. But it's after we've waited on the Lord. We've looked beyond what's right now. We've had patience with Him. And He provides the wings. He provides the strength. But if we're running around trying to fix all our issues on our own, guess what? God's still standing there saying, child, come my way. And we're too busy running around making all kinds of noise, not listening to the still small voice. Turn to Psalm 37 and verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Now, if that verse doesn't describe patience with God, what does? Commit thy way to the Lord. God, this is This is what I'm looking at. This is what's going on in my life right now. This is where I want to go. Here you go, Lord. Do what you need to do with me. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him. When you hand it to God, it's not, God, this is where I want to go, or this is how I want things to turn out. I'm giving it to you and make it happen my way. That's not trusting God. All right? It says, well, it says if I ask anything in faith, I'm going to receive it. Asking God to do it your way is not asking Him in faith, just in case you didn't know. Excuse me. Trust, committing your way to the Lord, it is necessary to trust also in Him. God, this is what I'm looking at. Here it's yours. Do with it, do with me what you will. Teach me thy way. And guess what? It says He will bring it to pass. Does it say He's going to bring your ideas to pass? Well, if you read that verse all by yourself in a proud spirit, you might be able to say that. But what He's talking about in the greater sense is He's going to bring His way to pass, and it's going to be better than what you had in mind. Patience with God teaches us faith in Him. And true faith is rewarded. Even if it's just with the presence of God in your life, true faith in Him is always rewarded. And then let's look at patience in advancement. Now, whether that be in going, pursuing a degree, pursuing a job, pursuing greater faith, pursuing a particular relationship, whatever it is, patience is necessary in advancement if you want to get from here to wherever your goals might be. And patience in advancement is both the stabilizer and the enabler. Also here in Psalm 37, look at verses 7 and 9, 7 through 9. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. It says, resting in the Lord, waiting patiently for Him, fret not, or don't worry, because of somebody else that's prospering, somebody else that's doing well. Say, man, they're doing the same thing I am. How come it seems to go so good for them and not for me? Who's ever said that? If we're honest, we'd all have to raise our hands, wouldn't we? Man, I'm doing the same thing. And I'm falling flat on my face every time. Well, sometimes it's because we don't see everything that's going on over there. We choose to look at their successes, right? Sometimes it is because God's trying to teach us something, so our pace might be going a little bit slower because we've got a lesson to learn. But the fact is, God's not trying to teach him that lesson. So quit looking over there and look at God. That's what it's talking about. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. You know, the biggest problem, and this is where stabilizer comes in. This verse is talking about coveting, really, isn't it? You're looking at somebody over there and, man, everything's going great for them. Man, everything they touch turns to gold. Man, everybody loves them. Man, they hang on every word that person says. Why don't anybody pay any attention to me? Those are all coveting. But here's a stabilizer. Patience here is the stabilizer in our goal, in the path we're walking. Patience is what teaches us to shut off the coveting. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Again, there's a reward for faith in God. There always is. Now, it might not be fame and fortune, but there's always a reward for trusting God, for having complete faith in Him. Saying, well, if it's not faith and fortune, fame and fortune, what is it? You know, a lot of it depends on your situation. So I'm not going to give examples. And true faith in God isn't looking for the reward. It's looking for a fellowship with God. And it's looking for what God can do for His own glory. That's what real faith does. Faith is a stabilizer, but it's also an enabler. Because when we quit looking over here, we can keep our gaze straight on. And verse 34 of Psalm 37 also. Wait on the Lord and keep His way, and He shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. See, in Psalm 37, also Psalm 72 is along the same lines. The one who has faith in God is going to outrun, outlast, outlive the one who's running around doing things their own way. They might look successful for a while. They might look like they got it all figured out for a while. But as Ecclesiastes 7:8 says, the end is better than the beginning. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Now here's another area where we have trouble with patience, don't we? Oh, man, if somebody would just notice all the good stuff that I do. Or any version of that. The Bible says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. Just like the doctor going to school. Let's say it's somebody who wants to specialize and he's looking at 12 years of school. Every day he's got to go study those books. He's got to write another exam. He's got to go through another series of training of whatever kind. But he's looking for that goal. And he can't just, you know, if he goes 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 11 years through and throws in the towel, guess what? He doesn't get to hang his name on the door if he didn't finish. In due season, that's in proper time. That's what it means. In proper time, we will reap if we faint not, if we have patience to carry us through. 1 John chapter 3. And verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. So just because you know you're saved and on your way to heaven, doesn't mean we do whatever we want, because one day we're going to be like him when he appears. It says, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Patience, again, takes into account, works with what's right here, seeks God's direction for right here, right now, with the intent that every step of the way we're getting closer to being made like Him. Now, the Bible tells us we're to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's God's will for the saved. God wants you to live your life more and more like Jesus Christ. To never say, oh, I'm a good enough Christian. I know enough about the Bible. But it's every day. Understand that I've got to be more like Jesus. I've got to learn something more about God today. That takes patience. But it's also the patience of understanding that the goal I'm working towards, just like that doctor going for, you know, going for his degree, he's going for his ability to go treat people, help people out. We're looking forward to that day when we will actually, physically be made like him. We shall see him and we will be as he is. I mean, that's exciting. But there's some things that we're required to do between now and then. And it takes patience to learn to have continuance, to gain the experience, to solidify our hope in that day. Because you know what happens when we live where, well, he's coming someday, but he's not here yet, so I'm going to do what I want. Guess what? The more you do what you want, the more you'll do what you want, the more you'll do what you want, and pretty soon you won't want the things of God anymore. That's the fact of the matter. Because patience had no effect. And your life will be in pieces. In the mire, as David said, keep my eyes straight on, keep my feet on the path that they slip not. All good character, all the character traits are essential to Christian life. But we need to stop and realize that patience is also essential to all good character. Let me say that again. All good character is essential to Christian life. And patience is essential to all good character. One more verse, Psalm 27. Psalm 27 and verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Patience isn't easy to learn. Patience is usually learned in what we feel like are the worst of times, the most painful of experiences. But patience is necessary to have a life that is truly honoring to God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you most of all that that you help us with these things that we learn. Lord, they're not in our human grasp, but you empower us. You gave us the power to become the sons of God. Help us in this area of patience. As we read that the patient will see you, the patient will inherit the rewards from you, and the patient will be known to be of you, a child of God. Help it to be prominent in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor?